Good morning. Now, for all of you who are concerned about me wearing a tie, I want you to know that I have a whole bunch of them, and I really like ties, but next Sunday I won't wear one. Wear them all. No, I'd probably strangle myself. Let me introduce myself. I'm Richard Maxwell. Some people know me as Max. That's a nickname I picked. I was given another one when I was a kid, and I didn't like it, so I changed it. It took me a few years, but I did. I was born again in November of 1969 at the age of 22 as a result of being married to that girl over there. We've been married 48 years and a few months. And if it wasn't for her family, I probably would still be, well, I'd probably already be dead. But God called me to his service. I was ordained in 1973. I pastored four churches, and I have spent the last 26 plus years as a Christian counselor at Alpha Counseling doing biblical counseling. And so why I'm up here this morning is to begin to bring about some tools that we need. Now, you heard, and by the way, Stephen, that was an excellent prayer. I really appreciated that. But we've been talking about, oh my goodness, there's problems in the church. There's problems everywhere. It's not that we don't have, that we have problems, it's how we handle them. I think of the problems our church is going through is like being a teenager. Do you remember growing pains? Do you remember waking up in the middle of the night with leg cramps when you were 13, 14 years old because you were growing faster than... Do any of you remember that? You can talk to me because I'm not standing up here preaching. I'm talking. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can have growing pains. That's what I see our church going through, is growing pains. You know, growing pains are no fun, but you know what? They're an opportunity for us to mature to the next level of what God wants us to be. So, get out your bulletins. By the way, turn your phones off. I want to see them. Turn them off. The verses are going to be up here. I want you to pay attention. You know, I'm not one of those nice preachers who just stands up here and talks. I'm going to be watching you. Get out your yellow sheets. Now, it looks like a lot because I'm trying to do 6 hours of teaching in 30 minutes. Did that sink in? There's no way I can cover all of this. Olympic Evangelical Free Church new mission statement is pursue God, love all people, be devoted followers of Jesus. That's what we're working toward. Romans 14:19 says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. One of the things that our church should be working toward is for all of us to be growing, not just me. We shouldn't be a spectator church where people come and sit and listen to a sermon and say, oh, that was really good. I got so much out of it. No, go share it to somebody. You will notice at the bottom of your notes, and you're going to hear this a lot. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody this week, and they were telling me how that, you know, they really don't like preachers who repeat themselves over and over again. And after we had the discussion, I got to thinking, isn't repetition the best teacher? So you're going to hear this more than once, so you might as well just get prepared. Spiritually, you will grow more in 5 minutes of obedience to God's word than you will grow in 5 years in the study of God's word. Amen. Now, I'm not against the study of God's word. What I'm saying is if you study it and don't apply it, we don't grow. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So let me tell you why I think I'm qualified to talk about forgiveness. I grew up in a physically, emotionally, verbally violent home as a kid. My father was a World War II vet. He was unhappy. He was quite intelligent, but he was very unhappy, and he made the whole family unhappy. I grew up being angry. You don't believe me? Ask my wife how many times she went to bed crying. I got saved. And for 14 years, I continued to be very angry. Do you have any benchmarks in your life? I use that term, I don't know. My wife, when she's sewing and she's going to be cutting out multiple pieces, she'll put tape down on her table so that she has a benchmark. There's benchmarks in my life. One of them was going to Vietnam. One of them was getting married. One of them was getting saved. But at the age of 36, I learned biblical forgiveness. And it changed my personality more than getting saved. Salvation changed me spiritually, but I was still carrying all of this anger and resentment and hurt and meanness that I learned growing up. And when I learned how to forgive, I began to heal all those things, and my personality changed. Debbie and I have been married for 48 years, and I can honestly tell you, and you can verify this with her, we would not be married today if we both hadn't learned to be good forgivers. So I'm pretty passionate about this. So let's talk about forgiveness, but let's talk about what leads up to forgiveness. For instance, Dr. Gary Collins is editor of the Christian Counselor Handbook, and on page 100, he says, anger is aroused when our progress towards some desired goal is blocked. It involves a physiological reaction as well as a feeling, which usually is conscious, but sometimes is buried beneath a calm, smiling facade. This is common amongst us Christians, isn't it? We're taught to keep up appearances. I remember a lady telling me one day that she and her husband had a horrible fight, and she says, I said, so why are you smiling? She says, that's what you're supposed to do. I've got this terrible headache. Dr. Collins goes on. Anger, along with hostility, has been called the chief saboteur of the mind, a significant factor in the formation of many serious diseases, a leading cause of depression, inefficiency, sickness, accidents, loss of work time, and financial loss in industry. No matter what the problem, marital conflict, child defiance, nervous or physical disease, elimination of hostility is a key factor in its solution. Dr. S.I. McMillan wrote a classic book called None of These Diseases. I quote from his book. Animosity toward others calls forth certain hormones from the pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, and other glands, in excess of which can cause disease in any part of the body. Examples: ulcers, high blood pressure, hardening of the arteries, heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, colitis, stroke, headaches, arthritis, and many mental disturbances. I personally was talking with a doctor at Harrison Hospital. I wasn't a patient. He's an internist, and he told me that many patients in the medical ward at Harrison Hospital have a real medical problem, but they probably wouldn't be in the hospital if it weren't for outside stress. The stress has made them iller to the point they need to be in the hospital. Now the clincher. Dr. David Siemens writes, many years ago, I was driven to the conclusion that the major cause of emotional problems among evangelical Christians are these: the failure to understand, receive, and give out God's unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace to other people. We read, we hear, and we say we believe in a good theology of grace, but that's not the way we live. The good news of the gospel has not penetrated the level of our emotions. Here it comes again. Spiritually, You will grow more from 5 minutes of obedience to God's word than you will grow in 5 years in the study of God's word. So let's talk about forgiveness. That's all. That was my introduction. Most of us aren't aware that there are two kinds of biblical forgiveness. Can anybody name them for me? Besides my wife? Pardon?
Judicial forgiveness.
Oh my goodness. Carol, you get a star for being the sharp one. Yes, there's vertical forgiveness. That's forgiveness that we get from God. And there's horizontal forgiveness, which is the forgiveness that we give to others. Vertical or judicial forgiveness is from God to us. It's given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In the Supreme Court of Heaven, Jesus satisfied God's demands for payment of our sin. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His sacrifice was accepted by God. Horizontal or relational forgiveness is meant to restore and heal any and all of our relationships here on earth. The two are tied together. We are forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice that we could not earn, and we are to give our forgiveness to others not because they deserve it, but because we received forgiveness we didn't deserve. Here comes the learning. I'm going to repeat that because it's good stuff. And you probably couldn't write it all down, so now you have another chance. We are forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice that we could not earn. And we are to give forgiveness to others, not because they deserve it, but because we received forgiveness we didn't deserve. So, how important is forgiveness for Christians? Think about this. How important is it that we Christians are good at forgiving? Because I've met lots of Christians that had no clue and weren't good at it. And usually you can spot them pretty quick. You see, Jesus said we're to be a light on the hill. We're not supposed to be hidden in darkness. We're supposed to be drawing people to us. So, judicial forgiveness. Peter preaching to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. He, Jesus, commanded us. This is Peter preaching to the people. He's preaching to the Gentiles. Commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Paul repeats this in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So how important is it that we be a forgiver of others? I call that relational forgiveness. I do it a lot. Do you ever have people just irritate you? You're in a bad mood, and it doesn't matter what they say or do. They get you mad. Well, is it their job to apologize? And they didn't know they'd said anything. Or is it your job to forgive? Matter of fact, let's pick on poor Debbie over here. I'll say or do something, and the Holy Spirit just... I'm walking down the hall toward the bedroom and think, oh, geez. And I turn around, I go back, and I say, I'm sorry. And here's the answer she almost always gives me. I've already forgiven you. And sometimes that makes me mad. The Lord's Prayer. Now, I like the old King James. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me rephrase that. When you pray that, or if you've ever prayed that, here's how I interpret that. God, please forgive me in the same way I forgive others. Is that kind of a scary prayer? Yeah. But that's not all. I'll read the old King James. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But that's not all. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Of the whole prayer, the only part he reiterates is the forgiveness part. Verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I looked it up in a whole bunch of different versions, and it's really interesting. But it all comes out to be the same. Matthew 18, verses 32 through 35, the unforgiving servant. I wish I could. Let me just say that if you're interested in learning more about this, if you'd like to know a little more about the 6 hours that I know about this subject, talk to me. Maybe we could have a class. We could deal with this in a deeper way. So I'm not going to cover this whole parable in Matthew chapter 18, but listen to verse 32 to 35. Then his master summoned him. This is the unforgiving servant, and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now that's the end of the parable, verse 34. Verse 35, Jesus is talking to Peter, the disciples, and you and me. And he says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive your brother from your heart." Do what? Allow us to suffer. Now I'm going to be honest with you, and I'd like you to be honest with me. Haven't you ever lost sleep being mad at somebody? And the person you're mad at is snoring next to you, or in the next room, or in the next town, and they don't even know that you're losing sleep because you're so angry? Who suffered? We would like the person who hurt our feelings to suffer, but that's not how God says it. Listen to this again. In anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive your brother from your heart. The Apostle Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Now I found that word malice. I thought, it looks like malice. I thought, I don't even have a good definition. Do you know what malice is? Malice is to give paybacks. To hurt back. Often in church it's snubs, gossip, and triangulation. Joe, would you stand up? Howie, would you stand up? I'm going to demonstrate triangulation. He said something and hurt my feelings. But I don't say anything to Howie. I go over to Joe and say, "Joe, do you know what he said? Now, what's happened?" Yeah. He and I are talking about him, and he doesn't know about it. Now, Howie goes blissfully on his way, but now I've given him my grudge, so now two of us are upset with Howie. And if I'm not satisfied with that, I'll go tell somebody else, and I'll go tell somebody else, and I'll get all these people on my side because he said something. That's triangulation. Do you know why we do so much of that in church? Because we grew up with families doing it. I've been 30 years of counseling. Let me tell you, I have seen families. The word dysfunction is kind of overused, but you know what it means? Things ain't functioning. There's no function. And so we have all of these things, and we bring this to church. And so we have all these grudges. This happens in families. Mom's mad at dad, but she doesn't tell dad. She tells her kids or her best friend or her mother. And she gets all these people on her side, and then when he finds out about it, he doesn't understand why nobody likes him. Well, maybe he deserved some of it because he did something mean, but on the other side, he didn't even have a chance to repair it. We'll talk about that next week. That's reconciliation. Most people don't recognize their relationships are no longer healthy. So it's natural that it happens that way at church. Ephesians verse 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As God in Christ forgave you. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. For just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, of all the things that I learned in the scriptures that shocked me the most, the next one was it. We forgive to avoid Satan. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. Anyone whom you forgive, I forgive also. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. The word schemes is used in some translations. That means secret, underhanded plans. Have you ever read C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape Letters? And he tells a story of husband and wife sitting at the kitchen table at breakfast, and a dark one whispers in the husband's ear, say something rude. So he does. And his wife takes offense, and she says something rude back, and the rest of the day is ruined. And the enemy comes marching away, happy. He doesn't have to bother with us anymore. So how often should we forgive as a Christian? There's no limit. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Now, what's significant about that is that at Jesus' time in Israel, the rabbis taught, this is written in the rabbinical writings, the rabbis taught to forgive three times and cut somebody off. And Jesus' answer, whether you do 77 or 70 times 7, the actual meaning is infinity, as many times as necessary. Really important in close relationships. I know we're running out of time. Should I only forgive if somebody apologizes? Let me tell you a story. I worked with a pastor's wife, and I know this is going to shock you, but her husband had left her for another woman. And she was really, really, really hurt. Who wouldn't be? She came to me for counseling. Her brother happened to be a theologian at some Bible school somewhere, and I taught her to forgive, and she came back to me, and she used these verses and said, I don't have to forgive him unless he apologizes. If he apologizes, I'll forgive him. But if he doesn't apologize, I won't forgive him. Now, who's suffering? Is he suffering? No, he doesn't care. He's happy with this other woman. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. This means confront the issue. That's next week. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, the scripture says you must forgive him. Why? Have you ever asked God to forgive you for the same things more than once? Aren't you glad he doesn't do what some of us do? We would be in a great deal more trouble than we're already in. On top of that, Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. That kind of, you see the conflict there of the two messages. You have to have both of them. So, should we forgive ourselves? Some well-meaning Christian leaders have aggressively declared that only God can forgive us personally. They say it's wrong to forgive ourselves. And they are correct in the judicial, vertical forgiveness, but not in the relational forgiveness. Let me tell you about me. I spent 22 years living pretty hard and rough. And after I got saved and God forgave me from all that sin, I must have confessed those things 10,000 times in the next 14 years of all the things that I had done wrong. And they would come up over and over and over again. At the age of 36, I learned how to forgive. I was encouraged to put myself in that forgiveness. And I began to forgive me for all the stuff I didn't like about me. Do you have any negative self-talk? You know what negative self-talk is? It's how you think about yourself when you just broke something that was important to you. Or you wrecked the car. Or you just did something stupid. And you can beat yourself up. Matter of fact, I know a guy who went to jail for a flat tire here in Kitsap County. He got out and he tried to, the tire was flat and he was on doing the lug nuts, and one of them he couldn't get loose. And he jumped up and down on the lug wrench and it wouldn't come loose. And he took it and he broke the back windshield in his car. He was so mad, and about the time he did that, state trooper pulled up behind him, put his lights on to, you know, because he was working with a flat tire. And he turned around and threw the lug wrench at the state trooper. And he spent the weekend in jail. And then he came to see me. It was a part of his deferment. Poor guy. That's a negative self-talk. That's severe. It's worse than most, but we do it. My father was a machinist and mechanic, and I could never work on a car right. Nobody can throw wrenches faster than me. Really? When I learned to forgive myself for all the things where I didn't measure up, I began to quiet down on the inside. Sometimes people ask me how I'm doing, and I will say I'm underwhelmed. And it's because I'm still forgiving myself for stuff I did today. Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Shouldn't that be applied to us too? I mean, to ourselves? Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So, now, whether you realize it or not, you are responsible before a forgiving God to learn to be a forgiver. That's the light that we give to the world. Philip Yancey, in one of his books, says that the only way we Christians can truly demonstrate the grace of God to a sinful world is by being a forgiver. By loving people who don't love us back. By sacrificing ourselves. Now, next week I'm going to talk about how to be able to reconcile with those people who have hurt you. To be able to sit down and think about us instead of me. Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 and 35. And in his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers until he should repay all his debt. That's the end of the parable. And now he's talking to us. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive your brother from your heart. What will he do? He will allow us to suffer. If we do not forgive as we're forgiven, we suffer from his discipline, not because he's angry with us, but because he wants his children to represent him down here. Every one of you moms, you want your children to grow up to reflect or even exceed the standards and the life that you've demonstrated for them. Now, you think God's any different? God saved us so that we would live on this earth and reflect his glory and his honor. And one of the best ways we can do that in this sinful world, as his children, as forgiven children, is to be forgiving children. So next week, I'm going to talk about how that we not only have to be responsible to forgive, but we need to engage in being able to communicate and heal the misunderstandings and the wounds so that we don't have triangulation. I have yet to see, and believe me, I have seen lots of attempts at reconciliation, and it usually ends up retaliation if there isn't forgiveness involved. Have you ever been in a situation where you're sitting down with someone and you feel more beat up when you're done than when you started? That's oftentimes retaliation. Beginning to heal your own wounds, then you can go and begin to be reconciled with those who maybe see things differently. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I ask that you would make us a congregation, that brings honor and glory to you, that we would be known as forgivers, that we would be known for our grace and our mercy and our peace, and that we would be known and people would want what we have. Would you do that in us and through us? Would you change us that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers? Would you minister to us and through us? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Trust and Obey. I got to pick the hymn. And what I would like is if God's spoken to your heart, if you need to pray about being a good forgiver, if you need to pray about issues, we have people that are coming up. You come up. I'll be here. We'll pray together. I want us to be a church of great compassion and love. Would you stand as we sing this hymn? We have an annual business meeting coming up in the 20th of November. We have the annual budget for next year available. You can pick yours up after the service, peruse it. get in touch with us. And remember this. And I want you to remember this. When you hear about conflict in our church, think of growing pains. It's not a bad thing. It's just not pleasant, but it's not a bad thing. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill us with your grace, your wisdom. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, God bless you.